Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, we have said here at North Point that 2022 is our year to advance. That's right. This is our year to advance. And that word advance means to move forward in a purposeful way. That this is our year to move forward on purpose and with purpose. This is our year to make progress in areas of our life, maybe that we've wanted to make progress in for a very long time. But I can tell you this truth, that if this is going to be your year to advance, and if you are going to move forward and make progress this year, then you are going to have to learn how to reset along the journey. And that's what we are in right now. We are in a series entitled Reset, because we're talking about how do we reset along this journey. I think everybody in this room has been alive enough to know this, that one, life is short, but also life is long. Life is short. It comes and it goes quickly, but at the same time, life is really long. And if you are going to finish well in this long race, you are going to have to learn how to reset along the way. See, you don't have to have a reset if you're in like a street race a couple blocks down the road. But if you are in a NASCAR race and you're going to go hundreds of miles, you got to have a pit stop because there needs to be a reset. If you're going to run 100 meters, people run 100 meters in 10 seconds. It's start to finish, boom, and it's over. But if you're going to run a 100-mile ultra marathon, there's going to be pit stops along the way. Why? Because we need moments of reset. And the same principle applies to our life. Life is not a sprint. Life is not a street race. No. Instead, life is a long race. And if we are going to run it well, and we are going to finish well, and we are going to win, then we must learn this powerful principle of reset. We've gone into the definition. Let me just remind you today, to reset, we're looking at two definitions for that word. The first is this: to set again. To set again. This would be like to reset a broken bone. This would be a hard reset. Now listen, there may be some things in your life that are broken. They are broken and they need to be set again. You need a hard reset in that area. But predominantly what we're talking about is the second definition, and that is to set, adjust, or fix in a new or different way. This is like the resetting of goals, the resetting of priorities, the resetting of a direction. It's just that we have to make an adjustment. It's that we just need to fix a few things. We just need something new or fresh, and that puts us back on the right track. Now, we all came into 2022 and we came in maybe with vision for our year. Maybe we came in, we even set some goals for this year. We set some priorities, or we set some things that we would like to change. And we set those things, and the reason that we need to reset along the journey is because in 2022, come on, things have already happened. Everybody in this room has been disappointed at least once, right? Everybody in this room has been discouraged at least one day. Everybody in this room has had something unexpected happen. There are people in this room who got really, really bad news. There are people in this room who did things that they never thought that they would do. There are people in this room who had experienced injustice coming from somewhere else. There are people that have lost their jobs. There are people that filed for bank. There are people in this room who did not think they would be where they are today, September 2022, when they came in January of 2022. Things have happened. And this is why we need a reset. And a few weeks ago, we started the series, and we've talked through this, and we said the thing that we need to reset, right, we need to reset our stance, because we came into this year saying that there is a stance to advance. There is a mental and emotional position that we have to get in if we are going to advance into everything that God has in store for us. But here's the reality. Those things that have happened, like I talked about, we get knocked down and we get tired and we get weary. And instead of September looking like, man, we're in a great stance, ready to attack the day, we really find ourselves in September like this. I mean, Lena, is it over yet? You know, how much more? When do I get to January 2020? 2023, right? Like, I mean, I am wore out. And if we find ourselves in this stance, we're not going to be able to advance in these last few months of 2022 the way that we can. So what we've got to do is we got to reset that stance. And I give you three things that are going to help you make an adjustment, three things that will help you get in a better stance. And it's an acrostic for GPS, because in our graphic, we're going from here to there. We're moving from, in January 2022, we're moving into this place of abundance. That's our graphic for this series. And so I did a little acrostic for GPS, right? And how do we get back on track? How do we reset? We reset through gratitude, right? Through gratitude. It starts with gratitude, and then it moves to praise, right? We have to have this moment where we are praising God. It helps us connect with our Creator. And then there's this element of seeking after God, of seeking God. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. How do we reset our seek? Because we need to do that in order to get back in alignment with where we really want to go, where our GPS is trying to take us into this life and this place of abundance. Because that's what we've been saying in 2022. It's not just our year to advance, okay? It is our year to advance into abundance. It is our year to move into what God promised us was possible, what Jesus told us we could have. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I have come that you might have and enjoy life, that you might have it to the full until it overflows, that we would be able to live this abundant life. And you see, whenever we understand that whenever we begin to seek after God, right, and we kind of talked last or 2 weeks ago, and we talked about that element of seek, and where we got that seek was when Jesus prayed, and he prayed and said, Father, give us today. He was teaching the disciples to pray. He said, give us today our daily bread, right? That there's this concept, this idea of daily seeking God for what it is that we need. Jesus was illustrating this for us and teaching us how to pray. And that scripture comes out of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, it was like Jesus's message. This was like the kingdom of God manifesto, and he's teaching his disciples to pray. And then a little bit later than that, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said this. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. A different version says, seek first the kingdom. This one says, seek the kingdom of God above everything else in your life and live righteously, live rightly, live according to God's will and God's way, and he will give you everything that you need. Just a few verses later in Matthew chapter 7, still the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaching on prayer, and he says this. He says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking. Everybody say seeking. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. I want you to see this. Jesus says, hey, seek first the kingdom, okay? And you're going to get everything you need. But then he comes back a few verses later and he says, listen, but you got to keep on seeking. Seeking is not something you do in one prayer. Seeking is not something you do on one day a week. Seeking is not something that you do the first month of the year. No, seeking is something that we must continue to do. Now, the word seek is, it's not a word that we use a whole lot. So let me just break it down, give you a little definition for the word seek, and it'll give us some context for what we're talking about today. And there's two definitions that I want to bring your attention to. The first is this, to attempt or desire to obtain something. To attempt or desire to obtain something. The second definition is this, is to ask for something from someone. So I want you to see there's this desire to have something, then there's this attempt to obtain that thing that we desire, and there's this other element of seeking, and that is asking God or asking someone, right, to give us something. So whenever we say this is our year to advance, and this is our year to advance into abundance, and it's our year to move into the life that Jesus told us was possible, the thing that we should be doing this year is that we should be seeking this abundant life, which means what? We should first of all have a desire in us to live that life. We should be attempting to engage and live that life, and we should be asking God every day to actually help us live the life that we are desiring to live. So I don't want you to miss that. It's a multifaceted there. I have a desire to live it. I'm going to make an attempt to obtain it, and I'm going to ask God to help me with it. So seeking to live the abundant life, it's going to require us to seek after what God promised us we could have, different components of what God promised us that we could have. And whenever you start putting the components of what God promised that you could have together, what all of these things begin to add up to is the abundant life. But we don't get these components if we don't seek after these components. And we don't get these components if we are not seeking after the abundant life. And we don't get the abundant life if we are not seeking out the giver of life and his kingdom. If you're with me, say yes. All right, so let's look at three things today, three specific things that we have to seek after if we are going to live this abundant life. The first is peace. The first is peace. We must seek after peace. This is what Jesus told his followers in John chapter 14. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Now, what he's saying, he says, listen, my peace I am giving to you. Now, the Bible refers to Jesus as the Prince of Peace. He is the embodiment of peace. And he says, I am giving you my peace. I am giving you divine peace. I am giving you supernatural peace. Don't get it confused with the peace that the world can offer you, because the world can offer you temporary peace, but I'm offering you eternal, immovable peace. The world can offer you peace when things are going well. I can give you peace when things are going bad. The world can give you peace in certain situations. I can give you peace in every situation. And he says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So don't let your heart be troubled. Receive my peace, live in that peace, and do not let your heart be troubled. Which then we have to ask ourselves this question. If Jesus was so intent to give us this peace, if Jesus was so intent to say, don't live with your heart in turmoil, don't live in worry, anxiety, we have to just like pause and ask and go, okay, well, what are the benefits of peace? If Jesus wants me to have it so bad, then what are the benefits? Because the benefit, it can't just be for peace's sake, right? There's something more to it, like Pete's sake. Somebody laughed right there. For Pete's sake, Jesus. You know, no, for peace's sake, right? It's not just for peace's sake. Let's take a look and let's say, what do we get whenever we are living with an internal peace? Well, psychologists and mental medical experts will tell you that whenever you have peace, you have a better concentration ability. You get better sleep at night. You have more patience and more tolerance with situations and other people. There is an inner poise that you have, and you have clear judgment. These are just a few. I mean, I just picked a few. There's like 50. We could keep going on and on. I just picked a few to show these are the benefits of peace. Now, what happens if we flip that and we go, what happens when we live with anxiety and worry and fear and a troubled heart? We get the exact opposite. There is a lack of concentration. We have trouble sleeping. We have reduced patience with people and situations. Our judgment gets very cloudy, and we start feeling this ever-building internal pressure in our hearts. So what I want you to see today is that worry does not just take away your peace. Worry takes away your focus, takes away your rest, takes away your patience, takes away your good judgment. It takes away your confidence in God and your confidence in God in you. These are the things that it steals. So if we only see it as me being peaceful and happy and then either having worry and anxiety, we are missing the whole point. Jesus says it's bigger than that. This is why you can't live with a troubled heart, because if you lived with a troubled heart, it's going to steal your rest. If you live with a troubled heart, it's going to steal your focus. If you live with fear and anxiety and worry, it's going to rob you of good judgment and you're going to make poor decisions. If you are living with these things, it's going to rob you of the confidence that you need to move forward in faith and in boldness into everything that I have for you. So Jesus says, I want to give you peace, because you're going to need it, not just for peace's sake, but you're going to need it for every area of your life. And do not let your heart be troubled. Because the things that peace will give you, a troubled heart will take from you. So it's bigger. So when we think about living the abundant life, living this life that is full and overflowing, let's just stop right here for a moment. And let's say, how can we live that life with a lack of focus, not being rested, tired all the time, cranky? How can we live that life when we don't have good judgment and we're making poor decisions? How can we live the abundant life when we don't have patience for ourselves, patience for other people, patience for situations, patience just for our life? And if we don't have confidence, how can we live the abundant life if we don't have that? Well, the answer is really simple. Everybody in the room knows. You can't. Exactly. Which is why we have to tap into the peace that God says is possible. The Apostle Paul, he was a leader in the early church. He understood this, and this is why he writes to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, and he says this. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. So what he's saying here is ask. Ask God to help you with what it is that you need. Thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. It's beautiful. He says, hey, don't worry, pray. Ask God. Ask God. Remember, that's part of the definition, right? Ask God for something. Ask someone for something. Ask God to help you with your situation. Ask God to give you peace, and he will give you peace that goes beyond your ability to understand. He will give you peace that you have never experienced before in your life, because it is supernatural and it is divine. But here's what I love. Paul doesn't stop there. So after he says, ask God for it, he gets to the very next verse, and he says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, let me just give you this one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise, and keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. So you see what he does here. First, he says, look, you can ask God, and ask God, and God will give you supernaturally. And he says, but let me add something to that. And what I'm going to add to that is your attempt to actually live in that. God can give it to you, but then you're going to have to do something to hold on to what God gives. So you're going to have to think about the right things. You're going to have to make sure that your mind is focused on things that are excellent and things that are pure and things that are admirable. You're going to have to make sure that your life is moving in that direction. You need to do what you saw me practice. You put that into practice. Then the God of peace is going to be with you. See, it's a reminder. Seeking is what? Asking and attempting. It is asking and attempting. It is inviting God to do what only he can do, while at the same time accepting responsibility to do what only you can do. It's asking God to come in and do what you cannot do, and accepting responsibility to do what you can do. You see, there is a supernatural peace that only God can give, and I don't know about you, but I need that in my life. But there are also decisions that we make on a daily basis that will protect that peace that God gives. There are decisions that we make when it comes to our diet, our exercise, our sleep, our screen time, friends that we hang out with, our hydration levels, how much caffeine we, because all of those things impact everything. So I can be praying, God, give me, so I can wake up in the morning, walk into the mirror, brush my teeth and say, God, you know I need that supernatural peace. But if you don't drink any water, pound 4 cups of coffee, grab 3 little Debbie snacks on the way out the door, and you eat those on the way, and then you get to work and you're like, oh God, I'm already stressed out. The devil's attacking me. No, you're attacking yourself. Your body wasn't designed to have that much caffeine and sugar. There are things that we do that keep us from enjoying the peace that God said we could have to live the life that he promised us we could. You know, I tell the story often, but, you know, and Destiny's so much better now, but a few years ago, man, it would come like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I mean, she would just like come into my office, and I'm talking about the world is falling apart. I mean, our kids' futures are falling apart. The church is falling apart. I mean, everything, her life, I mean, just like, I mean, it was all just falling apart. And I mean, at the beginning, I was like, oh, babe, oh, man, what's going on? You know, okay, let's figure it out. And then I just learned to ask when she came in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and everything was falling apart. I said, hey, babe, have you eaten anything yet? No. Hey, babe, have you drank any water today? Well, I think maybe I had, that's a no. That means a no. No, you have not drank any water. So you're dehydrated, you haven't eaten anything, and so now you're, you see, sometimes we think that the devil is conspiring against us, and the thing that would fix it is a taco, a Gatorade, or a nap, right? And I mean, it would just like fix everything. Because we have to understand that we have to make the attempt. Do we ask God? Yes, you have to ask God for the supernatural peace that only he can give. But then, like Paul says, but you got to make an attempt to hold on to what God gives. So we got to make sure in all those areas of our life that we're doing what we need to do. I would say to you today that saying you want peace and seeking after peace are two completely different things. You can say you want peace. You can even pray for peace. But seeking peace means that you are taking the attempt, that you are doing what you need to do to obtain this thing that you truly desire. Because I cannot pray for peace in the morning and then spend the rest of the day prepping my mind for anxiety and then be upset whenever I'm anxious. Right, so I've got to do more than just have a desire for peace. I've got to pray and ask God for peace, but then I've got to do what I can do to live a life that is peaceful. How do I make my life peaceful? I make sure that my mind is full of the right things. That's what the Apostle Paul was writing there in Philippians. I love this verse in Psalm. David wrote this, Psalm 37, and he says, trust in the Lord and do good. All right, everybody say and. So you can't miss that. Trust in the Lord, okay? Trust God to do what only he can do, and you do the good that you can do. Trust God and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. You see, it is only when you trust God and you ask God and you invite God in and then you make an attempt to do the good that you know, that's the only time that you're going to prosper. That word prosper there, it means a thriving, flourishing, and successful condition. It's not talking about just financial wealth and increase. It's saying if you want to live in a thriving state, if you want your relationships to flourish, if you want a successful condition and healthy condition of your life, then you're going to have to trust God to do what and ask him to do what only he can do, and you're going to have to do the good that he has put in your court to do. Because we cannot be earnestly seeking peace while we're soaking in anxiety. We can't be earnestly seeking peace while we are soaking in fear and worry because of what we are putting in our mind on social media and 24-hour news and the friends that we're hanging out with. And we are soaking in all of the troubled heartness of the world. And then we are wondering why I'm not living at peace. No, we have to ask God, and then we have to make an attempt to live a life of peace. Remember, seeking is asking and attempting. All right, let's move on. Here's the second component. If we're going to seek this abundant life, the second thing we have to seek is perspective. We have to seek perspective. You know, instead of building our life on how we see it, why don't we allow God to show us how he sees it? How do we do that? How does God show us how he sees it? Through the Bible. We don't read the Bible so we can check a box and feel good about ourselves, like we are good Christian boys and girls. That's not why we do it, okay? No, we read the Bible. Why? Because I want to know how God thinks. I want to know God's ways. I want to know more about him. I want to know how he feels about me. I read the Bible because I want God's perspective. One of the reasons we come to church. Why do we come to church? Because when you come to church, there's going to be somebody talking about the perspective that God has, the ways of God, the plans of God, the purposes of God. And what happens when we come, it expands our understanding of who God is and the way that God operates on the earth. And then the other way we can do it is through prayer. So we can read our Bible, we can come to church, listen to teaching, right, podcasts, different things, and then we pray. And when we pray, we ask God to reveal himself to us, to give us his perspective. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3, Solomon's the wisest person to ever live. And it says this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. How many of you know how easy that is? To depend on your own understanding? To just go with your own opinion? Well, that's the way I see it, right? Well, has it ever dawned on us that the way we see it might not be the way God sees it, right? How many of us, we go off of our own thoughts, our own understanding, and what Solomon writes, he says, hey, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't just depend on or don't just lean on your own understanding. He says, seek his will or seek his way in all you do, and then he will show you which path to take. You see, so many times in the Christian world today, we break this thing down of like his will, right? Like his, what's God's will? And we break this down and we simplify it so much. We break it down like to, like, is it God's will for me to buy that car? You know, is it God's will for me to buy a house right now or keep on renting? Is it God's will for me to take that job? Is it God's will for me to move that city? And all of those things, you can pray about all of those things and seek God's wisdom in all of those things. But what the scripture is talking about is a lot bigger than your car or your house. What he's talking about in the will of God or the way of God, he's talking about, how do I respond to disappointment? How do I respond when I'm offended and somebody lies to me? How do I speak to people? How do I think about people that look different than me, speak another language than me? How do I think? How do I treat my spouse? How do I treat my children? It gets down into this deeper way of being. How does God think? What are his ways? It's not just about what God wants me to purchase or where God wants me to move. It's about who God wants me to be. And I've got to know how God thinks and the ways of God if I'm ever going to be what he created me to be. That's what the prophet Isaiah was talking about when God was speaking through the prophet in Isaiah 55. And he says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. No, there's two things I want you to take away from that. That is both information and an invitation. It's an information of God letting us know that I'm not like you. And you ain't me, okay? God's saying, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I'm giving you that information so you can have a revelation about who I am. But it's not just information. It is also an invitation. It's an invitation for you to elevate your thinking. It's an invitation for you to elevate your ways of being so that you might be more like him. It's an invitation of God saying, this is who I am, and I want you to come a step closer. And you can't get closer if you don't start thinking different, and you don't start behaving different, and you don't start being different. And so I want you to come closer, but you need to know if you are going to elevate your life, you got to first elevate your thinking. See, it's information, but it's an invitation. And then all of a sudden, it goes, oh my God, it makes sense, right? Okay, when I read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the stories of Jesus, it makes sense. That's what God was doing. Jesus comes here, and Jesus is confusing everybody. Because he's having dinner with the tax collectors. The Jewish people hated the tax collectors. They were rebels. They were sellouts. They didn't like the tax collectors. And Jesus is having dinner with them. And not just tax collectors. The Bible says that Jesus was even eating meals with disreputable sinners. I don't know what it takes to be involved in to be a disreputable sinner, but that's who Jesus was hanging out with. And then Jesus is having conversations with a Samaritan woman. The Samaritans, the Jewish people looked at the Samaritans like they were the dogs. They were filthy. Nobody taught you didn't you they would walk all the way around 17 miles around Samaria, and when they could have just gone through in a few miles, and they walked all the way around. Why? Because they didn't even want to get that Samaritan dust on their sandals. And Jesus is talking to a Samaritan, and not just a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman. Jesus is just confusing everybody. And not only is he confusing them with who he's hanging out with and his overall interaction, then he starts telling them stories and preaching messages that go against the way that they thought life actually worked. He was challenging their thinking. He was challenging their living. Jesus said things like, hey, you've heard it said before, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Saying, hey, if somebody wrongs you, you can wrong them back. If somebody treats you bad, you can get your revenge. He said, that's what you've always heard. This is what I come to tell you. Turn the other cheek. Don't you know Peter was like, John, what did he just say? Did I? My hearing aid. I need to just. Jesus came telling stories about these people praying in the temple. And he said there were two people praying in the temple. One was a Pharisee, which was the religious leaders of the Jewish people. And the other one was a tax collector. There's that hated person again. And the Pharisee begins to pray and says, Lord, I'm so glad that I'm not like all of these other people. And God, I'm so glad that I tithe and I obey your laws and I don't participate in all the behaviors these other people participate in. God, I'm thankful that I'm so special and I'm so great and I'm so much better than everybody else. God, I'm thankful for that. And then there was a tax collector that says, Jesus tells a story, he says he was standing in the corner and he was beating his chest and he was saying, God, I am a sinner, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, that is the man who went home justified in the eyes of God. The tax collector, the one who we hate, and the Pharisee who's supposed to be the religious. I am so confused in what Jesus was doing. This is what you discover as you follow Jesus, that Jesus' way often goes against our natural instinct. That his way fights against our flesh. His way fights against what we want to be right. Everybody in the room just missed an opportunity for an amen right there. Because if I said anything like, that's true, that's for sure, I want that to be right. I don't want Jesus' way to be right. I want my way to be right. We all know what that feels like, but Jesus' way fights against our flesh, and it fights against what we want to be right. You see, his perspective, the perspective of God, won't shape my big decisions if they don't shape my small decisions. I would say it to you this way. God's way must shape small decisions if it is going to shape all decisions. God's will and God's way, it must shape the small decisions of my life if it's going to shape all the decisions of my life. You see, we feel like we can get in this moment and there's this something like there's this Christian superpower that will come and like, well, whenever I get into a big situation, like I'm going to rise to the occasion. No, you're not going to rise to the occasion. You will always sink to your level of submission. And if you haven't fully submitted and surrendered to God's perspective and his way of living righteously, living rightly in this earth, if you haven't submitted to that in the small things, then when it comes to the big things, you're not going to do the right thing. Because it's the way that it works. If I'm not living with God's perspective every day, I'm not going to live with his perspective on just one day. So when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and keep on seeking, he's saying, you got to do this over and 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 over again. You don't ever graduate from this. You don't go to church a certain number of days, read your Bible a certain number of times, and all of a sudden you graduate from this. No, 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 no. You have to keep on seeking. You have to keep on asking God to do what only he can do, and you have to keep on attempting to do everything you can do to live that life. Seek first the kingdom and live righteously. Live God's way. And listen, I can't do that if I don't first see it God's way. That's why I've got to have his perspective. Because I can't live righteously if I'm not seeing righteously. I can't live rightly if I'm not seeing rightly. So I have to say, God, I need your perspective. That's why I got to be in the Bible. That's why I got to have teaching. That's why I got to be in prayer, because I'm asking God, God, I want to see it your way, because I can't live your way if I don't see it your way. Here's the last component. If we're going to seek this abundant life, we have to seek power. We have to seek power, and the power of the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about. Luke chapter 24, Jesus says this. He says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit. Jesus is just about to ascend to heaven. He's already been resurrected. He's now appearing to his followers. And this is what he's saying. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit just as the Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Jesus says, don't leave this city and try to go do what I told you to do on your own. You have to stay here until the power of the Holy Spirit comes. In Acts chapter 2, you can read about what takes place in that moment. And the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit fills them and empowers them to live the life that God had told them was possible. You see, it's God that brings this supernatural power into our natural existence here on this earth. Now, I want to be very clear about something, and that is that we are not part of a behavior modification club. We are part of a life transformation kingdom. We are not a part of a behavior modification club. That's not what North Point Community Church is, and that's not what the Church of Jesus Christ on this earth is. It is not a behavior modification club. No, instead, it is a life transformation kingdom. We don't just need better plans and better patterns and better habits. Do we need those things? Yes, but we need more than that. We need the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. Once again, the Apostle Paul understood this. He was writing in Corinthians, and this is what he said. He says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. The kingdom of God is not just because you know the answers to the Bible trivia question. The kingdom of God is not that you can just quote some scriptures. The kingdom of God is not just the fact that you can kind of talk the talk. No, the kingdom of God is living by the power of God. Peter, a disciple of Jesus, wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. The godly life that God created you to live, it's only going to be realized one way, through his power. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life to live the abundant life. So if you're not seeking God for the power that he promised, listen, that's like not filling up your car with gas and then getting upset when it doesn't run. Every single day, we should be seeking God for the power that he promised to give us. the power that he wants to give us so we can live the life that he created us to live. And we must daily seek after that power. Now, the reason, the ultimate reason that we seek the peace of God, and the reason that we seek his perspective, and the reason that we seek his power is that we might be able to fulfill his purpose on the earth. That's the reason. Because if you don't have his peace, you're not going to be able to make it through this life to fulfill your purpose. And if you don't have his perspective, you're not going to be able to fulfill his purpose for your life. And if you don't have his power, you're not going to be able to fulfill his purpose. What is his purpose for your life? His purpose is that you would live an abundant life, that your life would be full of him, and that your life would be full of everything that he has, and that your life would be overflowing. That is the purpose that God has for each and every one of us. But that purpose will not be fulfilled if we don't have these components of the abundant life. That's why it's so important that you seek after peace. It's why it's so important that you seek after his perspective. It's so important that you seek after his power, that you seek first his kingdom, his way of doing things. And one thing that we're doing in September is we're gonna set aside September to do this. We're gonna have what we're calling a Seek First September. Because every Wednesday night, we're going to be having prayer from 6:30 to 7:30. And we're going to put God first. Now, listen, I realize what this does is well, I'm not used to coming to church on Wednesday. I'm just glad that I come to church on Sunday. Like, okay, that's great. He's like, but I have other things on my schedule. Yeah, no, I get that. And this is one of the things that we do. Why? Because we need a reset. We need a reset. We need to reset our seek. Because some of us in the room aren't living with the level of peace that we need to be who we need to be so we can do what God created us to do. Some of us, we don't have the perspective that we need, and we're living out of our own opinions. We're living out of our own ideas. We're living out of the way we wished it to be or the way we want it to be. And we need his perspective. And some of us, we're trying to live out of our own power. We're trying to do it in our own strength. And we need his power. And so what are we doing on Wednesday nights? On Wednesday nights, we're going to come and we're going to have 1 hour of prayer on Wednesday. And it might inconvenience your schedule, but let me tell you what. Whenever you show up and you say, God, I am committing to seek first your kingdom this September. I'm going to put you above everything else. I'm going to show up on Wednesdays because I need peace. I'm going to show up on these Wednesdays because, God, I need perspective. God, I need you to reveal yourself to me in a greater way. God, I need your power to make it through this season of life that I'm in right now. God, I need you. Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 7:30, right here, we're going to be praying together. I'm going to give you a short little teaching on prayer, and then we're going to have some private prayer. We'll have prayer leaders available to pray for you. We're going to have corporate prayer. I'm going to lead you in prayer. We're going to be praying together for certain things. But this is what we're going to believe. We're going to believe that as we seek first his kingdom, that what Jesus said is actually true, that he will give those things to us, that he will give us everything that we need. So when we're seeking for peace, God's going to give us peace, and God's going to help prepare us that we might live in peace every day. God's going to show us his perspective, his way of thinking, so that I can take his way of thinking and I can make an attempt to begin to think like him over here in my life. God's going to give me his power. I'm going to receive that power, and then I'm going to begin to activate that power in the decisions and the conversations that I have in my life every single day. But these things don't just happen. But you said you got to seek first, and you got to keep on seeking. You got to keep on seeking. So we're going to come together for September on Wednesday nights, and we're going to seek God. We're going to seek his kingdom. We're going to seek his peace. We're going to seek his perspective. We're going to seek after his power because we ultimately want to fulfill his purpose. And it's only appropriate after all those peas that we would be eating pizza after service. Having a party, a pizza party after we seek the kingdom of God. I encourage you. This is a season of reset. It's time for us to reset our seek. As I was preparing, this message, I just always search my heart, and everybody in this room needs to know that I don't do this for a profession. I do this because this is the overflow of my life. I don't get messages to talk to you that I haven't already wrestled with myself. So I put myself in check, right? Like, Phil, where are you in seeking the kingdom? In terms of where you have been at other times of your life. See, there comes a place and a time where we can know enough where we can get by. We can have developed good enough habits, good habits, kingdom habits, godly habits, that we can live off of those habits. But you see, you never go to the next level living off of what you've always lived off on. And what I felt God speaking to me this week, saying, Philip, you need to reset your seek. You need to reset your seek. Because what you have is good, but I'm calling you to the next level. The next level of peace. You don't have all the peace that you can have. That's what I just feel. I just felt this. It's inside of me. You don't have all the peace you can have. But I would say, I'm a pretty peaceful person. I kind of live in peace. I don't live in angst and anxiety, but I'm pretty peaceful. But I just felt God saying, you think you got it all? You think that's as good as I can do? Perspective. Whoa, I mean, Philip, wow, you've read a lot. You studied a lot. You know a lot about me and kingdom principles and my stories, and like, you know a lot, but are you going to be limited with the perspective that you have right now? Or are you going to seek me for more perspective? Philip, you got power. I mean, I got power to overcome and power to do these things. You believe in the power. You've operated in the power. You've seen my power work in your life. But are you just going to settle for the level of power you have? Or are you going to seek more? So whether you come or not, there's going to be one person here every Wednesday. And I'm not coming to help you seek God. I'm coming because I need to seek God. I'm coming because I need to seek first his kingdom, because there's more that God wants to do in me. And I just invite you to come along this journey, 4 Wednesday nights in September. Put it on your schedule. Make it a priority. Let's seek first his kingdom, and let's believe that this is going to be a miracle month. Amen? Come on, why don't you stand with me right now? Let's throw up the lead acrostic on the screen. As you know, some people like to take a picture of it just as a reminder for the weekend. Every weekend we do this. What do we learn? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? And then we're doing it again. Our learn today is that seeking God and seeking the abundant life he promises requires asking and attempting. It's not just asking. It's also attempting. It's not just attempting. It's also asking. The evaluation. What are you in need most of today? What do you need most today? Do you need peace? Do you need perspective? Or do you need power? What do you need most today? The action, the application is this. Ask God every day for help and do something every day to help. Ask God to give you peace and then do something like not watching 4 hours of news at nighttime before you go to sleep. Ask God to help give you perspective and then pick up your Bible and read one chapter of God's word. Ask God to give you power and then begin to live in that power. Do something. Ask and do. Let it be a powerful combination for your life this week.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.